everyone. This is Brother Josh Hodge with Magnify Him Together Podcasts. This is episode number 70, and today we're starting a four-part series entitled The Joy of Bible Marking. The Joy of Bible Marking. And we want to answer the questions, well, why Bible mark? And why does it bring me joy? And why should it bring all of us joy? Before we get to that, I want to give you a few stats. So there's 100 million Bibles printed every single year, 438 languages the Bible's translated into. There's 900 versions, actually, just in the English. Wow. And yet, only 50% of Americans can name the first book of the Bible. The first book of the Bible. And just by the way, I'm not picking on Americans. They just have lots of stats. Another stat, only 1 in 3 Bible owners know that Jesus delivered the sermon or the discourse on the Mount. 12% of people believe that Noah was married to Joan of Arc. I think the word Arc threw them off. This was a group of people completing a survey in the U.S. And you see, while the Bible is often bought, it's not often read. It isn't often understood. It isn't often loved. And if it's left on the shelf, it certainly doesn't bring joy. So what does Bible marking have anything to do with this, you might ask? Let me read you a quote by Brother H.P. Mansfield, or Uncle H.P. Mansfield. He's the brother who wrote all of those green expositors. He had lots of different Bibles, but he had one in particular that he loved. He says this, "My studies of the Bible extend over many years, and they were helped by studying Elpis Israel, Eureka, Nazareth Revisited." He used those books to help him study the Bible. And he said it turned the Bible into more than a book for him. It made it an intimate friend. In fact, an intimate, helpful, frank, and fearless friend, he says, because Yahweh speaks through its pages. His words are always valuable and helpful. They lead him from death into the path of life. But he says, it has become an intimate friend, his Bible, because he has attempted to mark his word. He's talking about Bible marking. And he marked it all up. And we're talking about filling the margins with explanations, asking questions, with lessons, highlighting different parts of the text, words that stand out. Different themes that appear on each page or in a book of the Bible to emphasize different things. It's a very personal thing, isn't it? Bible marking has actually been around for a while. Brother Robert Roberts in the 1800s talked about how Bible marking was helpful. But it actually goes back a lot farther than even the 1800s. If you're in a place where you can open a Bible, turn to Deuteronomy 17. And if you're listening in the car or some other place, you don't have access to a Bible, that's okay. We'll read you a verse, and you'll find it very interesting. Now, this is a verse really speaking about kings. It's giving instructions to the kings of Israel and Judah. And one day, we want to be in the kingdom, ruling as kings and priests, doing work as a king, doing work as a priest, teaching and leading and helping. Now, Deuteronomy 17 and verse 18 says, "The king, when he sits upon the throne of his kingdom," this is the first thing he's supposed to do, "he shall write him a copy of this law in a book." He's supposed to write out a copy of the law in a book. Now, That could have been referring just to the book of Deuteronomy, or it could have been referring to Genesis to Deuteronomy. But either way, the king was supposed to write out a copy of the law. And he's supposed to do it before the priests and the Levites. But here's what's really interesting, is the next verse says this, "And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life." And it goes on to give some reasons. Now just think about the importance of verse 19. It says, this law that he's going to write out is going to be with him, the king. He's going to keep it by his side, in a bag. He probably didn't have a Bible bag. But he was supposed to keep it with him, wasn't he? Now, why is that so impactful? Because it means it was personal. This copy of the law wasn't somebody else's copy. This was a copy that he wrote out. He marked this copy in order to make it his own. Now think about a king, right? He could have had the best writer in all the kingdom write out a copy of the law for him, right? He could have. Or he could have sat on, you know, his kingly couch and said, so-and-so, read me the law. He could have done that, but God says, no, no. The kings will write out a copy of the law in a book, and the king, you're going to keep it with you. Now, why do you think God said that? And why was it so specific that the king had to write it out? Well, there was something powerful, and there's something really important when we do things for ourselves. Somebody else couldn't have faith on behalf of the king. Somebody else couldn't have the knowledge of God on behalf of the king. The king had to have faith. The king had to have knowledge. The king had to know what he was doing. He had to understand the law. Now, it could be said, well, we're not really writing out the law, but we are writing alongside the law. And what we are writing and what we are marking is designed to emphasize God's principles, to emphasize God's law, God's teaching, to highlight his character, to accentuate his purpose, to give the law, to give the Bible meaning. Now, there is some joy in just Bible marking, making our Bibles look really nice, making it so that things jump off the page. But it's a whole lot deeper than that. I want to give you one more verse, Proverbs chapter 7. Now, Proverbs chapter 7 is really a chapter where a king is speaking to his son. And this is what the king says. My son, keep my words, lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, he says, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Right? So we have a king talking to his son, and he's saying, keep everything I tell you, my commandments, the laws. But here's where it gets interesting. Says verse 3, bind them on thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Now that is interesting. The king said to his son, keep them. Make the very law, the very things that I say, your own. Make them become who you are. Bind them, wrap them around your fingers and all of the things that you do. Write them or mark them into your heart. And this is very similar to what the king had to do. right? He wrote out the law, and it says that he would learn to fear God, to keep all the words of the law, and to do them. And that's exactly what Proverbs is saying. It wasn't simply about accomplishing the task, but it was about fearing God, about keeping the law, about doing the law. So the king wrote out the law of God on paper, that the law of God might be written in the heart of the king. And that's exactly what we want to think about doing when we are marking up our Bibles. We're actually trying to mark it into our hearts. And going through the process of marking up our Bibles is doing just that. If you mark it in, then it's marked in our hearts, and that is the joy of Bible marking. So next time, we're going to look at a strategy of what and how we might mark our Bibles. We'll see you next time.